We're talking about relating to others, and we took some time to look at God's way in which we relate to Him and to have a relationship with Him, to receive His best and to walk. And we see that we relate to Him on His terms, the way that He designed it. And He invites us to participate, but we don't change the way He set it up for us to relate to Him. And in the same way, we have human relationships, and we are all in human relationships right now. Some helpful and healthy, some others that might be hurtful and painful. And so we are going to relate to others God's way. All right? And we discover God's way from His Word. And so when we understand His way and we operate that way, we're gonna have His best. When we ignore His ways or disregard them, then we're going to have trouble. Okay? And one of the challenges of relating to other people is that other people are more or less like God, godly. And so there's a high probability that we could get hurt if we don't do it and we don't take the precautions that God gives us in His Word. Look at Proverbs 4:23. We've been using this as our text. Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. I think all of us guard something, whether it's your cell phone, whether it's a laptop, your own body. We protect in certain ways. And that's important, but there's only one thing that we're told to guard above everything else, and that is our heart. And that's something that we can't physically see, but in our heart is where our beliefs are. It's where our emotions are. It's where we make decisions. And so we need to guard that and protect what's going on the inside of us. Okay? And so here God tells us that we are responsible for what's going on in our heart. We are. Okay. Now, what we're going to look at today is that as we relate to other people, we need to understand what we are responsible for, okay, our life, and that we are responsible towards or to other people, okay? And you need to take responsibility for yourself and love, serve others, but understand what is yours and what is not yours, okay? So one of the things that we saw was that in guarding our heart is that we need to open up to the good and the grace that is in other people. And so we open up our heart, we make ourselves vulnerable, we make requests, we say, hey, I need help in my life, and I need help in my emotions, I need help with the decisions that I'm making. And so we invite godly people into our life and into our heart. And if that works out, they bring in grace and our life is edified. But we also need to realize is that we have to protect ourselves from wrong and from evil. Okay? Because the world is predominantly inhabited by people that don't know God and that are not following His ways. And even we have to be careful even in relating to Christians, because not every Christian is walking God's way. All right. So we need to open up to the good, but we need to protect our heart from evil. Proverbs 22:3 says, a prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes on blindly and suffers the consequences. So we take the responsibility to foresee danger and then take the appropriate protective measures, evasive measures to keep ourselves from that evil. But we also open ourselves up to the good. James 5:13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him, everybody say, let him. Okay. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So notice that we ask for help. If you're sick, reach out. Ask, say, hey, would you pray for me? If you're struggling with a sin, go seek out godly people. Confess, not to be condemned, but that you can be healed. All right. So we protect our heart from wrong. We open up to the good. All right. But that is not the only part of relationship. All right. It's not just about us receiving, but it's also about us giving and us helping and serving others. And when you look at the fruit of a Christian life, arguably the number one fruit is that we love. All right. We are not self-serving, but we seek to bless and to help and to lift other people. We have the nature of God. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation. How many of you have ever been through a tribulation and God has comforted you? Isn't that awesome? All right. Because he loves you. He cares for you. He gave us his Holy Spirit, who is called the Comforter. All right. But when he says that he comforts us in all of our tribulation, notice in verse 4, there's not a full stop. It's not the end of the thought. There's a continuation. He comforts us in our tribulation that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. Do you see that? All right. So life is not just about us getting our needs met, but it includes that. All right. And making sure our heart is okay. But it's also now looking out to say, Lord, They're hurting people. They're broken people. Lord, the same comfort that you gave me, I'm going to turn and give that to other people. And many, many times in life, and I believe this is why sometimes when the Bible says that what the enemy meant for evil, God turns for the good, is that sometimes the tough things that we have gone through, we now have more empathy for people who have gone through those things. All right. Someone who maybe has lost a child, or they've gone through a divorce, or they've been, they've faced a certain really tough thing in life, and God has brought them through that and has brought healing, and now they're okay. When they see someone else that's going through that, boy, I tell you, they are moved with compassion. Probably more quickly than some of us that maybe have never faced that before. Okay? So we are to be looking out to be a blessing to others. Now, one of the things that I want you to hear today is that, so we guard our heart because we have our beliefs, our thoughts, our emotions, our actions are there. Okay? So we are responsible for ourselves. We are responsible to other people. And that's a big, big difference, okay? Because there's only one person that's responsible for Walker. It's Walker. Only one person. Not my parents, not my wife, not my board, not my staff, not all the beautiful, wonderful members of Miracle Life. It's only one person. It's me. I am responsible for me. Because here's what the Bible says. It says that all of us, we will give an account to God for the things we have done in our body. Well, whose body is it? It's my body. Okay? Now, I give it as a living offering to the Lord. Lord, use my life. Lord, think through my mind. Heal through my hands. Speak through my mouth. All those are nice things. But I can't be held accountable for something that doesn't belong to me. All right. So I am accountable, responsible to God for me, not for you. All right. Now, as a pastor, okay, I've got a job description. Exhort, rebuke, correct, shepherd. There's a lot of verbs. Okay? And I am responsible towards you to do those things. All right? I'll give you an example. So Friday night, boy, I tell you, we just had a marvelous, marvelous time. Misfits, sex can wait. We talked about either you can have a beat up red Corolla now, or in 3 years you can have a fancy brand new Ferrari. And you get to choose the two of them. All right. And so I just loved it. In another month's time, my wife and I are going to talk to the guys and the girls separate. And then we're really going to have some fun. We're going to talk about a strategy that not just having a goal to be sexually pure, but actually, what do I do to actually achieve that? Okay. So I am so, and I believe I have a responsibility to tell people that. All right. I was single. I went through that. And so I have a responsibility with the Word of God to give them. All right. Now, what if, you know, and I trust that the majority of the people that hear that, they'll make the right decisions. Okay. Am I responsible for their right decisions? In no way. I'm responsible to the sower sows the word, right? But then there's the condition of the heart. All right. And if there's some people that choose not to act on God's word and to receive that grace to say no, like Titus tells us, am I responsible for their sexual immorality? No. I'm responsible for my sexual purity. No one else is. Only me. Are you hearing the difference here, folks? All right. Now, because here's the thing. If you feel responsible for someone, then all of a sudden now it's your job to make their decisions. It's your job to make them happy. But people say this all the time. Oh, I tell you what, my wife frustrates me. My wife makes me so angry. Husbands, listen, she does not have that power. She doesn't have that power. Okay? Now, she may have made it real easy for you to get angry, okay, and given you a marvelous push, all right, but you are responsible for your emotions. No one else is. And again, you've heard me say this a million times, but I'm so sick and tired of men blaming their sexual immorality on the miniskirt. Shout on the miniskirt. Oh, I'm scot-free. Can't do anything. I am powerless because of a miniskirt. Now, my wife and girl, they don't wear miniskirts. All right. And that's a woman's responsibility. But here's the thing. You are responsible for your actions. No one else is. No one else is. Now, here's the only person that's not responsible for their emotions, their actions. They're called infants. They're called little bitty babies. Friday night, my wife and I, on the way back from Merge, we went and stopped. Somebody had given birth in the church, and we were there, and a brand new mother had not had babies before, and I had a flashback to, oh, wow, boy, that is so challenging, especially the first child, because you don't know what's going on. And so here's this little baby crying, and she's like, where's the off button? You know, she didn't really say that, but like, what's wrong? And I said, honey, I don't know. You just have to figure it out. Don't worry, you'll figure it out. And her mom was there. And so you figure those things out. But a child, it doesn't have that ability to just say, you know what? I think I'll just stop crying now because, you know, I don't want to. No. They just cry. They make crazy decisions. All right. And as they grow and they get older, that's part of becoming an adult, is now you own your stuff. And now I'm responsible for my own decisions. I'm responsible for my emotions. All right. But that's why one of the big New Testament exhortations is grow, mature, take ownership, take responsibility for what God gave you in your life. All right. So we're responsible for ourselves. We are still responsible to be good and merciful and kind and do all the wonderful things towards other people. All right. Now, so one of the great things that we do towards one another is we live in this relationship called one another. And one another means that there's grace, there's love. All right. Our needs and what we need help with in our heart never ceases to stop being our responsibility. But like in James, there's some things where we say, hey, you know what? I need to invite you to come. There's brokenness. I need healing. There's hurting in my body. I invite the elders to come. All right. So we invite, but we take the initiative. We still have the responsibility to do that. All right. And then towards others, Ephesians 4, verse 7, it says, to each one of you that's a believer in Christ, grace was given. Grace was given. So there's grace in you to be a blessing to somebody else. Verse 16, it says that every part, every joint supplies. And there's an effective working when everyone does its share. It causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. All right. Now, when it comes to giving and serving and loving, okay, towards other people, and especially Christians, life can really get weird right here. Okay. It can get very confusing because especially among us Christians, because we know we are to love. We know we are to sacrifice, all right? But there's a lot of abuse that happens in these circles, okay? Where people now suggest, demand, manipulate what you are going to do for them. Because it's now your responsibility to make them happy, all right? Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. And I think this is a wonderful picture. And at first, it looks like a contradiction of what we are, the responsibility that we have for ourselves and towards other people. Galatians chapter 6. All right. How many spiritual people are in church today? Are you spiritual? All right. You'd like to consider yourself. Now, remember, spiritual doesn't mean weird. Okay. You can be one of our 8 core values at Miracle Life is not weirdness. Thank God. All right. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, okay, we're spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. How many of you know it looks like verse 2 is something we are to be doing, right? All right. To be like Jesus. Verse 3. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Verse 5. For each one shall bear his own load. And I remember reading this multiple times thinking, Paul, I think you're confused. Because in verse 2, you're telling me to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But in verse 5, you're saying, bear your own load. Well, what do you want me to do? Tell them to bear their load or bear mine or burden? What's going on here? Well, if we read it in the words that Paul used, it brings so much more clarity. Okay? In verse 2, and it is translated here as a burden, okay? But the idea here in the Greek is that it is an excessive burden, all right? It is non-normal. It is an overload, okay? Let me read it from another translation. From the Message Bible, it says, stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed, all right? There's some type of an outside influence that is causing this person to be burdened, okay? Think of someone maybe that's been, in a sense, overrun by a boulder, okay? It is a weight that they cannot get off of themselves. That's why it says fulfill the law of Christ. We were under the burden of sin, and it was not something that we could push off of our own life. And so Jesus came and he assumed that burden of sin. He carried the weight of our sin in order to offer us freedom and release. Okay? So Jesus did that for us. And so now we go and we do that for loose and set the captives free. See, someone who's a captive can't free themselves. They don't have that ability because they are captive. Okay? Verse 5, it says, each one shall bear his own load. All right? The word load there, all right? And again, let me read it from a couple other translations. New Living Translation says, we are responsible for our own conduct. The word there in the picture is, it's like a briefcase. It's a handbag. It is a backpack. It's what you put in for your own life. Okay, probably the best example. Ladies, how many of you came with a handbag to church today? Did you come with a handbag? All right. I don't know what's in there. It's kind of a mystery. But I'll be on, and my wife, you know, sometimes if you know, her, she doesn't like big handbags because she doesn't like to carry heavy things. But, you know, there's ladies with handbags. Sometimes you would think just their handbag that they're going to be going to Dubai for 5 weeks. You know, it's like, I mean, their entire meals in that handbag. I mean, there might be human beings in there. I don't know what's in that handbag. I don't know about you guys, but I am just so blessed that my entire life can fit in a billfold. A billfold and a cell phone, and I'm ready to go. I can face the devil and life itself, okay? So, but God bless you, ladies. But ladies, okay, what's in your handbag? It's what you need. And sometimes, I guess you need more than us. I mean, because there's face cream, and there's foot cream, and there's fingernail things, and there's, you know, the what's makeup? Well, it depends if it's the eye, the outer eye, the inner eye, the nose, the blush, the... There's combs, there's teasers, there's spray, there's, you know, so God bless you. All right. But whatever is in your bag, ladies, it's yours and it's for your life. Right. And so when you leave home, you realize, OK, I need this for me. OK. And so I'm going to carry it for myself. OK. You don't give that responsibility to someone else. All right. Don't get between a lady and her handbag. Okay? So it's not for someone else to carry. It's for you to carry. This is the idea that Paul is using in Galatians 6:5. Okay? And that is something reasonable. It's not too heavy. It is within our power. A boulder, we were not designed to carry boulders. We were not designed to be overwhelmed or to be captive. All right? But we were designed to carry our own stuff. Okay. Message Bible here in verse 5, it says, take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. Now, what's in the handbag? Our thoughts, our beliefs, our emotions, our actions. Those belong to us. They cannot be delegated to someone else. And you cannot steal someone else's handbag. Okay, so I've asked some folks to come and help us see this pictorially today. All right, so we've got the Miracle Life Playhouse actors here. And ushers, if you could just help me up here with this pulpit, and we'll just put it over here by the monitor. Okay, so because in life, we know we want to be loving and helpful, and we should and we will. All right, just right over here. Thank you so much. And so we want to be loving and kind, and we'll do that. But we also don't want to be overwhelmed. All right. So here's our brother. He's just minding his own business, carried on with life. But something happens. All right. I saw in the newspaper this week that there's some companies that are going under. Maybe he got retrenched. Maybe he wasn't given his benefits. His girlfriend left him. His wife left him. Life just got real bad. His house burned down. All right. And so now what he is facing in life, he cannot handle it himself. All right. So burdens come. Kaboom. And just in case you think this is acting, I've had to move that pulpit. It cannot be moved with one person. All right. That's why we didn't put a little girl down there. All right. Because we really, really would have crushed her. Okay. So he is burdened. He physically does not have the strength to remove this from his life. Okay, his loved one has passed away, and emotionally he is just spent. He is crushed. Okay, so because he knows what to do, and he knows that there are godly, loving people in his life, he begins to ask for help.
Help. Somebody, please help me.
He begins to ask a little bit louder.
Help, please.
All right, and so people come by.
My sister, help me. Don't pass by. Help, please.
And there are people that are just kind of living their own life, and they're basically not listening. They don't hear his call.
Help, brother, help, help. You can help me, please.
They're just doing their own thing. All right. Now, there's another person that has gone to the burden seminar. And so instead of helping him with the burden, they're going to give him advice on the best methods of pushing.
Help.
And of how
Thank
he can
you.
Do this. And so they're going to give her, you know, just help him to, you know, do better and just follow the three steps of getting your burden off of you.
Okay.
Help. Someone else just is very curious about this, and they can't imagine that a Christian would be just overwhelmed and burdened. And so they're going to let everybody else know. They just love to slander and gossip. And that picture is going to be worldwide in 5 seconds. Okay. Now, there's somebody else who is very prayerful, very spiritual. He looks like Octavius from The Choice, but he got saved since then, all right? And so he is very concerned. So the best way to get this burden off is to pray. And so they are going to bind and loose. They're going to cast it up and down. And they're just going to ask God to do something about this. And they sincerely petitioned heaven for help for their brother who is burdened. But the problem is, he's still burdened and he's still crushed. So, but he hasn't given up. He knows there's godly people out there. So he begins to ask again.
Help. Help, please.
So now there's some people in his life that are full of grace, full of compassion, and they realize, you know what, there is no way that he's going to get this off of him. So they come alongside and help him get the burden off. And so there's thankfulness, there's appreciation. Everybody did their part, all right? And so a person who was incapacitated, in a sense, almost paralyzed, now because someone else has fulfilled the law of Christ, amen, they've done their part. All right, now, if I can get all you guys back up again. Now, this next scenario is the things that we are going to carry for our own life, the things that we are going to take responsibility for. All right, so we're responsible before God for our emotions, for our thoughts and our beliefs and what we do with our body. Those things belong to us, and they're not to be delegated. Now what's in one of these bags here? All right. So you packed this yourself. Now, did anyone give you anything before you got on the plane after you packed this? You packed it yourself. All right. So there's a Bible. All right. And there is water because you're going to need this for a journey. Bright sun, so we've got some purple sunglasses for a lady. Men don't wear purple sunglasses, okay? A comb to make your hair nice. And then there's some stuff in here that men don't understand. Pond's Lasting Oil Control Vanishing Cream. I don't know what needs to vanish, but it's going to vanish after that cream is put on there. Gorgeous perfume body spray. All right. And a cell phone to communicate. All right. So you packed all these things. They belong to you. You felt like you needed them. All right. So, and they're not, it's reasonably light. I mean, there's some weight there, but it's not anything that is going to overwhelm. It's not a boulder. It's a load. It's part of our daily, of our responsibilities. Okay. But we've got this guy over here. Where's B? Mr. B. Oh, Mrs. B. Oh, Miss B. All right. Well, she's just kind of tired of carrying this around. And she found out that Christians, you know, Christians should be helping. And Christians should be compassionate. So Mr. Christian over here, she says, you know, hey, just you carry my load. You know, take care of my responsibility. It is now your job to make me happy, to carry my emotions, to do the stuff of my life. And so because he's a Christian and, you know, he loves and he wants to serve. So he says, I guess I'll go ahead and do that. So now he's got double the responsibilities. All right. But now other people begin to find out, there's someone that will take my stuff for me. And so they begin to just kind of dump it on him, and he kind of doesn't really fight back or push back. And all of a sudden, boom, he's got this stuff. All right. Now, here comes somebody else. All right. And he's kind of had enough of this. And so she comes with her responsibilities, what belongs to her, and she begins to plead with him. And he, no, I'm not, I got enough. I'm taking care of, this is not my job. So anyway, she's a lady. She knows how to put on the heartstrings and the tears and you've got to please help me. If you don't, I'll be so sad. And he doesn't want her to be sad because after all, it's his responsibility to make her happy. So he finally gives in. All right. And so now he's got more and more stuff, more and more handbags. All right. And then there's a brother in his life that comes along and he sees that, boy, he can just handle everything. So he thinks, man, I'm going to get rid of my stuff. I don't need to be responsible. So here you go. But he refuses. He said, look, enough is enough. All right. But he kind of gets hot about it. And so he just gets aggressive. And maybe he's an apostle and he's going to call down fire from heaven and you're going to do this. And he gives him all kinds of reasons and threatens him. And I'm going to let other people know how bad you are. And so finally, because of fear and intimidation, he finally has all of that. Now, everybody who lost their bag, boy, they're just skipping around, enjoying life, dancing and free. And they don't have to worry about stuff because our poor brother over here, there is no dance in his life. There is no freedom in his life. He is now doing the work of six other people. All right. But finally, he realizes, you know what? I'm supposed to help people with boulders, but their load is their load. So he begins a process of redistribution and he goes and finds these people and says, hey, you know what? What belongs to you does not belong to me. So here you go. You can have it back. And as he begins to redistribute this to the people, not everybody is happy that he's doing this. Some of them cry. Some of them are upset. Some of them, we're going to tell everybody what an unkind person you are. How do you think the compassion of God lives in you? Some of them just get downright angry and ugly. But he said, hey, your load belongs to you. My load belongs to me. So here you go. And but then there's some other people, when they receive it back, they realize, you know what? I'm capable. God can help me with the stuff that belongs to me. And so they begin to look into their bag and they begin to enjoy the process of taking. So there's some water in there that you can drink. All right. And she realized, wow, wait a second. This belongs to me. I don't need anybody else to give. I can with God's help. And so she begins to drink water. She begins to drink water. Yeah, yeah. And she enjoys it. And she's got body cream in there and she's got all what she needs for life. And she realizes, you know, I'm capable. I'm an adult. God is in my heart and I can live life with him. Amen. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. So, are we to serve others? Yes. Are we to help others? Yes. Biblically, but then there are some things that simply don't belong to us. And we need to give them back to the rightful owners. Just a little bit up for it. I will help them with the burden. Thanks, guys. All right. So we are bolder helpers, but we should actually be backpack coaches. We should help people to learn the responsibility for their own life. And some of the people in our life, they need to have the weight of their responsibilities back on themselves. Listen, not the boulders, not the burdens, not the things that are overwhelming, but the things that belong to them. All right. You are not doing anybody any favors by taking over their God-given responsibilities on behalf of them. All right. So when things get weird is when we don't open up our heart to people in our life that are overwhelmed, that are burdened, and we just say, you know, I'm just going to live my life. Life is about me. And we don't allow the compassion of God to rise up and to help those who are oppressed, to help those who are burdened. Yet on the other hand, and especially in Christian circles, and in this illustration, you know, our brother had 6 different handbags. There are people in churches that have 60 handbags on them. They are doing the work of so many other irresponsible people. Sometimes this happens in families, especially where, you know, you have somebody who loves the Lord. They get born again. And so God is working in their life and things begin to work, and they're not overwhelmed and they're not burdened anymore. And so people just begin to dump on them, and other people act irresponsibly around them. And then they end up doing the work that God has called someone else to do. All right. Now, what I'd like to talk about in the time that we have remaining is in one specific item that's in your bag and it's in somebody else's bag. And that is in the area of our emotions. Okay? Our emotions. Your emotions belong to you. That's why God gives us the commands of, you know, blessed are those who grieve. All right? That belongs to you. All right? In James, it says, if any of you happy, let him sing psalms. Okay? God's not going to sing your song on for you. Okay? So we express our heart, we express our emotions, and they belong to us. Okay? But here's the thing. Someone else's emotions do not belong to you. You are not responsible for the emotional well-being of someone else. Now, I want to paint a picture here, and this happens far too often. Okay, now, these wonderful kids from Children's Church, God's a giver, right? God's a giver. We're givers, right? Not just of our money, but of our life, of our energy. All right, and so we are called to give, but we give. The Bible says, as we purpose in our heart, as we're led by the Holy Spirit. All right, and we make that decision. Okay. Many Christians do not give because they're being motivated by love or because they see something in the Word. They give because they've taken ownership for the emotions of somebody else. And so somebody asks you, you know, hey, can you help me out with a loan? And your thought is, no, I can't. I don't have the money to do that, or I don't want to do that. I'm not a banker. There are banks in the city, and I'm not one of them. You can always just say, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not registered with the Bank of Zambia as a lending institution. You know, I'm not a micro nor a macro financer. Okay. And there are, and you can give them a brochure of your favorite bank. And just say, hey, you might want to see a loan officer about that loan. Okay. Well, can you give me a loan? And not because of love, not because of compassion, not because of the right thing to do, but this is the reason that you make your decision. Ooh, they are going to be unhappy with me. And after all, it's my responsibility to keep them happy. So I'm going to do whatever I need to do to keep them happy. And you go and you get a loan. To give them a loan. And of course they don't pay you back, and then now you have to go pay somebody else back because of their responsibility. And you're mad at God, who told you to act in compassion. The appropriate response is no. The appropriate response is, that's my decision to make. And if you're unhappy, I am really sorry that you're unhappy. But your happiness does not belong to me. Your spouse's happiness does not belong to you. your brother and your sister, your pastor's happiness does not belong to you. I hope, and I think we have done this at Miracle Life, we respect your no. If you don't want to do something at Miracle Life, we allow you to say no thank you. We don't have people that hound you. We don't have people during the offering that take out spiritual billy clubs to beat you into submission and with fear and intimidation that you're going to be under the curse and God's going to kill your cat simply to extract the tithe out of you. We invite you to participate in the life of this church. And if you say no, we respect your no. We respect your no. If you want to be on the worship team, you can be on the worship team if you can sing. All right? There are tryouts. But if you don't want to, then we respect your no. God Almighty respects your no. You know what that place is called? It's called hell. Well, I don't believe in a hell. You know, a loving God would never send anybody to hell. Well, God didn't send anyone to hell. People who reject God and don't want God in their life, during their lifetime, He is not going to take them to heaven against their will. So if you want to live life without me, I will respect your decision, and for all of eternity, you will be without me. That is your call to make. Now, you know it grieves the Father's heart. You know that provision is made for everybody to go to heaven. But God Almighty allows people to say no. And so must you. So I want to look at this on two different sides of the equation when it comes to our emotions. Okay. First of all, is some of you literally have been enslaved by the emotions of other people. You have allowed emotional manipulators to become the Lord of your life instead of Jesus Christ. Okay, when Jesus came to the earth, there were a lot of people that wanted Jesus to be a different kind of Jesus. All right, there was a whole group of people, and one of them was his disciple, not the betrayer. Okay, but Judas the Zealot. They were expecting Jesus, to have like a Jesus Che shirt and to overthrow the Romans and power to the people, and they wanted a revolutionary. Okay, they got a Messiah. So Jesus did not allow their agenda to dictate his life. And so Jesus said, I came to do the will of him who sent me. And he said this to a group of people. He said, what you think about me means nothing to me. It doesn't register on my radar. What you think about me means nothing to me. Now, did that lead Jesus to leave a selfish life, a hard-hearted life, a cold life? No, we see Jesus at funerals, at weddings. We see Jesus interacting with people, with the high and the low and everyone in between, of lifting, of loving, of healing. Jesus was connected to people. Jesus had friends. Jesus shared his heart. Jesus loved. But he also did not allow other people to run his life. I'll give you an example here, folks. And because sometimes when we just talk in abstract, we don't get it. All right. I'm a big fan. And this happened to my wife and I when we got married, when we had a child. And I was so thankful. You know, the tradition where we all come together and we help out a couple with a kitchen party or baby shower, all those kinds of things. Right. That's a blessing. To give, right? And to help people get a start in life. But ladies, and let me ask you, and ladies, but sometimes it's the men that help sign the check, all right? But have you ever been treated heavy-handed by the kitchen party committee? They tell you that you're going to bring the freezer, and not the small freezer. I'm talking about the freezer you can put a whole cow in, okay? Because I know where you work and I know what you drive and this is what's going to be required of you. And so you bring the freezer that takes five men, grown men, to lift and carry, and there is not a shred of love in your heart. You do it out of fear. You do it out of intimidation. And because you realize, if I say no, they are going to fillet me, fry me, deep fry, and serve me up to 100 people and talk about me. And so they are able to extract a gift out of you that does not come from your heart. It comes out of fear. Because you are more responsible in thinking about what they think than what's okay for you and your finances. Here's the appropriate response. Hey, you're going to be on the committee and you're going to contribute $2 million. Hey, thank you for that suggestion. I'm going to go talk to my spouse. I'm going to look at my budget. I'll get back to you. What will they say? What will they feel? Whoa. That's in their backpack. Their emotions belong to them. They do not belong to you. Now, I'm not talking about being ugly. I'm not talking about hurting people on purpose. Okay? But people do foolish things and resent it. All for the sake of emotional manipulation. You got to say no to that which might injure you. You've got to be able to say yes to a gift because I want to do this. Not because someone is putting me under pressure. And they'll use words. Well, you say you're a Christian. No, I don't say I'm a Christian. I know I'm a Christian. I know I've passed from death to life. Amen. I know where I am and I know where you are. And you're not allowed to reach into my pocketbook and take my money. You're not allowed. It's my money. Now, if I want to give it, I can give it. But if I want to come to the kitchen party with a toaster that toasts two slices and not four, that's my decision. It's my decision. It does not belong to you. Imagine if our ushers, imagine if the ushers of Miracle Life looked like SWAT team policemen, and they're passing down the bucket, and they put their hand on their 9mm. You in now, right now. I'm watching you, huh? They write down your name and you get a call in the middle of the night. You get secret phone calls. No, that's not how the kingdom of God works. But see, we have some of these kinds of traditions and we allow these things in our life. Oh, what will Mama say? What will Mama say? I don't know what will Mama say. Mama can say whatever she wants to say. I am responsible for my life. I am responsible to be a blessing to where God leads, to where the compassion of God, to where I can afford to give. And unfortunately, a lot of us, we've been heavy-handed in church. We've been heavy-handed with people in our life. Now, here's the thing, what you need to realize. The true test of a real relationship is not when you say yes, it's when you say no. Oh, but they won't be my friend if I say no. They're not your friend. They don't allow you to be an adult. Oh, they'll just reject me. Let them reject you. Replace your friends with friends who can hear you say no thank you. Hey, can you help me out with school fees? No. But I can pray with you. Huh? No, I'm not going to be doing that today. But they don't pout and act like a 5-year-old that didn't get the candy bar. Huh? You ever go to the grocery store? That's why they put candies and sweets by the cash register. Because all these people have those kids and there's all that healthy stuff in the basket. But then they see all these sweets. Mommy, a sweet. And then you don't give it to them. I don't like you, Mommy. It is so cute for a 5-year-old to act. I think it's humorous. I think it's cute. But it is not cute when a 35-year-old acts like that. Or a 55-year-old auntie. You've seen it. I've seen it. Okay? Now, here's the thing. You are allowed to say no. Because your life belongs to you. Belongs to you. That's why your yes is a yes. And your no is a no. Okay, so those of us that have ever felt like we've been emotionally manipulated, and I've faced it. I've faced it, folks. I've told you this more than once. Every single time God led my wife and I, and even before I was married, every single time God led my wife and I, there was one family member, not sometimes different ones, not always the same one, but there was always at least one family member who threw a fit. You going to South Africa? South Africa's at war. There's riots. You're taking my little baby Timothy. I came to do the will of him who sent me. I'm an adult. Now, all of them love it now. All of them love that we're here. All right. But you see, I'm going to stand before God one day and give an account of what I did with my body and my money and my decisions. And you're not going to have 20 family members that you can point to and say, well, you know, God, you know, Auntie, oh, she would have been really mad if I wouldn't have brought that to the kitchen party. God's going to say, no, I don't know that. I don't know that. Folks, you got to break the chains. You got to break the chains. Okay? That's why the Bible says, for this reason, when you get married, for this reason, a man will leave. What? Leave his mother and father and cling to his wife. And let me say this about some of your marriages, folks. The Bible says, let no man put that asunder. That man might be your parent. And if your mother or father is interfering with your marriage, they need to hear your voice. And it needs to say somewhere in the language of, excuse me, I respect you, but you need to back away here. I respect you, but this is my wife. This is my husband. There is a lot of nonsense in our world today, folks. Okay? Now, let me say this, and I'm a big, big fan of mothers. I love mothers. My kids have the best mother that ever walked the face of the earth. My mother touched my life, gave me the word of God, took me to church, prayed for me, called my name out to God. I honestly believe it's one of the reasons why I'm here where I am today. It's because of her prayers. So I love mothers. But mothers have a hard time letting their kids go. They have a hard time, okay? And, you know, because they're sweet and they're babies and you breastfed them and they're so nice and cuddly and kind. But here's the thing. But if you have a child that's 31 years old, that child is not designed for your emotional fulfillment now. Go get a puppy dog. Watch a show on TV that touches your heart. Watch chick flicks or something that, you know, makes you cry. But they need to live near me. No, they don't. They need to follow God's will. I need them. Mom, you're 50 years old now. Grow up. Carry your own handbag. Put on your own buttercream. And it is especially hard with boys. Mamas and their boys. I don't want to make anybody mad, but I probably already have. Okay. And there's no girl on the face of this earth that's good enough for your boy. Well, mama's newsflash, mom, newsflash, your boy is not the Pope. Okay. Let me tell you a few things about your boy. Okay. Some people think, Pastor Walker doesn't believe in demons. Well, I believe in demons when it comes to a mother letting go a hold of her boy, you know. But here's the thing. We've got to, and as parents, and look, I've got a child that's 17 and 19, all right? So they're on their way out, okay? Boy, it's tough. It's tough, all right? But my job as a parent is to raise an adult. not to provide a stuffed animal for me to feel good about. Okay? It's to raise an adult. The Bible speaks of them as arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Well, guess what? The arrow doesn't do anything until you release it. The arrow is not for the quiver. The arrow is eventually to be released to the target of the will and the plan of God for their lives. So raise them up. Bring them to church and they'll say, I love giving. And let me preach to you adults about what I learned in children's church. And let influence their lives as best as you can. And when the time comes, pew, let them fly. Let them fly. You know, it's unfortunate that the animal kingdom does this better than the human being species. You know, little baby birds, they are dependent on their mother. And you've seen them, you know, they just sit there and open their mouth. All they have to do is open their mouth. And when they open their mouth, boop, here comes some food. Oh, this is not. And so they grow up. All right. And then eventually they learn to fly for themselves. And what some birds do is the mother will actually, and they've got talons, they begin to kick them out of the nest. Get out of here. Go eat your own food. Go fly. Why do they kick them out of the nest? Because they know they now have the capacity to fly for themselves. Amen. And they're not worried about them coming back every night and calling them on the phone 500 times. How you doing, mommy? Oh, ever since you left, it's like there's a hole in my heart. I just feel so sad that you left. That's why we need moms and dads in the home. That's why we need moms and dads in the home. Together, raising kids and shooting them out into the world for their destiny. Amen? So, I don't know where you are today. I don't know if you have inadvertently taken responsibility to keep other people happy. And it's not your job. And you need to go, like we just saw, you need to go give those handbags back. Say, you know what, I love you. But I am sorry, I will not be making your decisions. I am not your prophet. You're 30 years old. Don't ask me what you're going to do with your life. You make your decisions. And if it works out, great. If it doesn't, you'll learn from that too. Give people back the decisions of their life. Give them back their emotions. Okay? But then some of you, maybe you've been on the committees, the shakedown mafioso. You will do this. And you need to back off in Jesus' name. You need to back off. Maybe you're a parent that needs to let your kids fly. And either they're going to or they're not. Okay, you've done your part. Let them go and let them fly. Amen. I think you'll be surprised at how well they'll do. And their muscles will only be developed when they start flapping for themselves. Don't maim them. Don't turn them into a jellyfish. Amen. Let them go. Hallelujah. Bow your head with me. Bow your head with me. Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, I thank you that we can understand, Lord, that in every most Christian truths, Father, there's a ditch on one side and there's a ditch on the other. And Father, I pray that, Lord, from your word and what we've communicated today, that Father, there would be no one that would get in the ditch of being cold-hearted, selfish, not someone that can hear the cries and the needs of others. And Father, that we can be there like the Good Samaritan. We can pour in the oil and the wine. We can take our very own money and we can help and lift people who literally are dying and who are broken. And Father, help us to do that. Father, I also pray that, Lord, we would not control or be controlled by folks that don't respect that we're adults, that don't allow us to be who you called us to be. Father, may we not be on that side of the ditch. But Lord, give us the wisdom. And Lord, I realize that everyone here in this room, Father, we are in multiple relationships. There's lots of different people that we relate to in life. So Father, help us to know where the boulders are. Help us to come alongside and with the great power and the anointing of God, to help lift and free the oppressed. And Father, Lord, where there is irresponsibility and where there is sin and wrong, Father, help us to recognize that and to be able to say, I'm sorry, that's your job. Father, help us. Give us, Lord, so that we can have godly relationships. Father, we just say that today, Lord, that, Lord, as we talk about these things and as we seek to implement them in our life, Lord, this is not about our life or our money or our stuff or our the things. Lord, it's about your glory. It's about your kingdom. It's about your rightness. And it's about us conforming to your word. And so, Father, thank you that you help us to do that. Lord, where there needs to be any correction today, Father, I thank you that it is a sign of your love. It's a sign of your fatherhood, that whom the Father loves, he corrects. So, Father, we receive that today. And, Lord, I know that you've corrected me in these areas, and you are correcting me. And, Father, there's so much I need to learn and do better, Lord, in the people that are around in my life. Father, we want to glorify you. We want you to be magnified. Lord, we want relationships to be godly and healthy and loving and not crazed and not hurtful and painful where there's bitterness and regret, Father. Help us to do our part with your wisdom better than ever before. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just receive the wisdom that you need right now. Again, some of you right now in relationships. And I really want to encourage you. And I know I was strong about some of these things, but I just want to let you know, boy, I've made mistakes in these areas. I've made dumb mistakes in these areas. And if you're not doing it right, don't be under any condemnation. But also don't resist God. Turn and do it right. Turn and do it right. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for grace, for grace, for grace. Lord, we love you. We bless you. We bless you. Thank you, Father. So just let him speak to your heart. If there's an adjustment that you need to make in a relationship, maybe there's an email that you need to send, a conversation that you need to have. But right now, just go ahead and allow that to happen right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.